So thanks, Marianne, for translating. It's a bit of a unique experience to stand up here and kind of have so many people looking back. But it's great to be here, and I know I speak on behalf of all the youth when we say that we love you, we love this place, we owe everything to our parents especially, and for all those of you who make this meeting work. And without you, there would be no youth meeting, the Sunday school, the young adults. So thank you for your support, and thank you for coming together. Oh, sorry. Apologies. I will give time to translate. Okay, so today, just one more thing about the whole idea of family and what we've been hearing from the youth as they've been sharing the verses that they've been given. And that is that, you know, we are a family, every single one of us, not just the physical family, but the church family. And I want to thank you as my family for being so loving and generous over the past couple of days with the news that has hit our family. I just wanted to say thank you and say that this time has really proved what we've been talking about today to me and I know to my family. So thank you all for being our family. So love is the defining feature of Jesus' followers, and unity was the defining feature of the early church. And I really see that in this place. So today I was asked to talk to you all from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 to 5. Before we do that, can we pray together? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the time that you've given us now. We thank you that you are our Father, that you love us, and that you want to talk to us. Lord, we thank you that you have something to say. Lord, help us hear it and help us accept it. And help us live it out in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this is what 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 5 says. It says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ."
الآية بتقول الذي إذا تأتون إليه حجرا حيا مرفوضا من الناس ولكن مختارا من الله كريم كونوا أنتم أيضا مبنيين كحجارة حية بيتا روحيا كهنوتا مقدسا لتقديم ذبائح روحية مقبولة عند الله بيسوع المسيح.
I love this passage. I love the fact that you wanted to talk about this passage tonight.
أنا بحب الآية دي جدا وبحب إن احنا هنتكلم عليها النهاردة.
In my opinion, I think this passage summarizes everything that it is to be a follower of Jesus. So tonight as we unpack it, I'll try to avoid the word unpack again. It's going to be great. We'll be able to see where we're up to in our walk with Jesus, and we'll be able to recommit and see where we're going. So like all things, when it comes to following Jesus, it starts with Jesus. Peter starts off this passage by saying, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him. Jesus is the living stone. In other verses, it talks about Him being the cornerstone, the foundation. He's the stone that the builders rejected. He's the stone that caused people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Peter goes on to quote the verses that I've just told you now, found in Isaiah and Psalms. And in those verses, we get a picture of who this Jesus was like, as well as the Gospels, obviously. Jesus was the cornerstone, the foundation of our faith. In Isaiah 28:16, I'll read you the verse. It says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." The New Testament puts it in a very similar way by saying in Hebrews 12:2, He's the author and perfecter, or the author and finisher of our faith. Do you know Him as the foundation, the cornerstone? Do you know Him as the author and perfecter of our faith? Do you know that Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected, but He became the cornerstone nonetheless? That's the verse written in Psalm 118, verse 22. Jesus was an outcast. He was someone that was rejected. Did you know that our Savior was rejected? In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, it says that He is a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Do you know that Jesus was very difficult to believe in? Do you know that He still is very difficult to believe in? He caused division amongst His people, amongst His community. This is the living stone that we follow. The author and perfecter of our faith. The one that was rejected. And the one that was very difficult and very hard to follow and believe in. And this is the same living stone that Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, as you come to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. As you come to Him, you are like the living stone. As you come to this man that was difficult to believe in, that was rejected, and that is the author, the cornerstone of our faith, as you come to Him, you become like Him. This is the process of sanctification. Coming back to Him. Seeing Him for who He really is. And being transformed into His image. Do you know all this talk of stones and rocks and buildings? These things are very personal to Peter. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. All right, yep. This passage where Peter and Jesus have an interaction, this passage shapes Peter for the rest of his life. And I believe that what we're about to read is exactly what Peter was talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2. So let's have a look in verse 13. It says this: When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do you say that the Son of Man is? They replied, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, Jesus asked, Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and by blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Do you understand what happened here? Jesus knows who he is. He was trialed by Satan about his identity and who he was. And Jesus passed. And here we have Jesus asking his disciples, Who do people say I am? And they all gave very generic answers, very general answers, very not personal answers. And he asked specifically then, Well, who do you think I am? And Peter, Simon, he answered. He revealed and he answered the truth. He saw the truth for what it was. He saw Jesus for who he was. He saw him as the living stone. He saw him as the Messiah, the author, the perfecter of his faith. And he spoke this truth. Jesus was delighted. He said, Blessed are you. And he said, This truth is a truth that only came from God himself. And then Jesus, after Simon said the truth about him, after Simon said the truth about Jesus, Jesus then turned around and said a truth about Simon. He says, I tell you that you are Peter. Peter, in the Greek, Petros, means rock. And he says, On this rock I will build my church. Lots of people look at this verse and say, This was special for Peter. They say that this was Peter's special ministry. But Peter disagrees with them in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says that as you come to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. He says, I'm not the only rock. I'm not the only stone. He says that Jesus is the living stone. And every single one of us, as we see him for who he is, and as we say with faith that he is the living stone, he turns to us and says, you are the rock that I will build my church on. You are also a living stone. We're called to be like Jesus, every one of us, not just Peter. We're called to be like Jesus in character and purpose. So, what is our purpose? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says that you are to be a holy priesthood. Offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, our purpose on this earth is not just to be saved. It's not the point. If you're here and you're a Christian and you think that it's fine the way you are, just being saved, you're missing the point. You are to be a holy priesthood. In Exodus 19, 3-6, it says these words. It says, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you were to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you were to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. It's not enough that we are saved. It's not enough that we are brought out of the land of Egypt and rescued by God. He calls us to something greater. He calls us to be a holy people, a kingdom of priests. What is a priest? Is it someone that stands and talks from the front of a church? Is it someone that plays on a computer or worships in a band? Who leads Sunday school or the youth? No. A priest is someone who speaks and acts on God's behalf. A priest is someone who knows that they are in relationship with the living God and they have His voice in their own mouths. And what does it mean to be holy? Holy means set apart. Someone who is set apart for God. Someone who carries His character. And to be known as His. I want to ask you, are you a holy person? Are you someone that is set apart? And are you a priest? That's all I have to share with you tonight. But I want to ask you three last questions and to summarize. Do you know the living stone? The cornerstone, the one who was the author and perfecter of our faith. The one who caused people to stumble. The one that was rejected. And have you come to Him? Are you being transformed into His image, a living stone in His image? Having His character and His purposes for your life. And finally, are you a priest? Are you holy? Do you act and speak on His behalf? And are you set apart for Him? Is your life declaring that? Every single one of us are called to this. This is our journey. This is where we were and where we're going. As we're changed from mortal to immortal. From glory to glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for every person in this room. I thank You, Lord, that You love us with an everlasting love, Lord. Lord, I thank You that You've called each and every one of us to follow You. I pray, Lord, that every single one of us, if wherever we're at in our journey, Lord, that we would be honest with You. I thank You for Your plan for our lives, Lord. Change us, Father, into Your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I ask, before we wrap up this time, can we have a time of reflection where we gather together as families and with each other as a church family, pray with each other while the worship, the youth worship team come back and sing the No Longer Slave song? Is that okay?